Today on Real Life Radio.
Nowhere does God put you in a headlock to make you follow him. Did you know that? He will never yoke you up to a burden and drive you like a slave. God delivers you out of slavery. It's all about a loving relationship. That's what God wants with you. And if you don't have that, you need that.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Well, I want to encourage you to get a great book by our good friend of this ministry, Ken Ham. Ken Ham has written the book, Will They Stand? And this is a book for every parent to prepare their child and to equip their child for the world that awaits them. Unlike any other time, this culture is dangerous and must be navigated with God's truth.
Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants is available at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, with a message titled All in the Family. Now, the Apostle Peter was the disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. There were times, of course, when Peter failed the Lord, but he learned that through Christ's forgiveness and compassion, he could find joy even in the midst of failure, sorrow, and pain. You see, there are times in this life when things are just not that easy. But Jesus, well, he's our prime example of submission. Throughout his word, Jesus taught us to engage our culture not with anger or violence, but through love and kindness. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that as children of God, we are all in the family and no longer under the world's influence. Jesus set us free from our past, and we can follow him knowing that as a loving father, he always wants what's best for us. And now with his message called All in the Family, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The power of the Bible changes a person from the inside out. And when that happens, God brings you into his family. We saw last week that God's family is made up of Jew and Gentile alike, that God says he's no respecter of persons. And so Peter is writing to a people made of Jew and Gentile who have come into one family, the family of God. And we saw that in our previous study last week. In fact, just look back up into verse 13, one of the most powerful verses in 1 Peter. Verse 13 said, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Get control of your mind. Bring it under control to God's word. Be sober." Remember what that word meant? Take the level and put the bubble that's in the glass right in the middle. Have a level mind and a level life. Be thinking levelly, not skewed one way or the other, but be balanced. And to rest your hope fully, that is with all weight, with all trust, with all of your person, upon the grace, and I loved it, the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remarkable, that grace. Listen, church, the amount of grace it took to get you out of bed this morning and will get you here and through this day is huge. You and I will never know it fully, but God's grace to get you out of bed and live this day is epic in scope. Huge. Listen, I got to be honest with you. All the pastors already know this. I told them this morning. I didn't want to come here today. I was with you last week and I enjoyed myself, but I also really enjoyed vacation. I don't know if it's jet lag or what, but I had a hard time getting out of bed this morning. And I was tempted in my mind, I'm gonna call in sick. And then the Lord said, but you're not sick. But Lord, I kind of maybe feel a little sick. And I came and I stepped up to the podium at first service, didn't want to be here. But as I got into the word, it got into me. And I was reminded that I've been transformed. Listen, my body had to take a back seat to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you didn't want to be here today either. I sympathize with you. But maybe God has you here for a purpose. But I can tell you this right now, that inside of you, if you're a believer, there's a whole new agenda afoot. There's a whole new will that's in action. And the Bible says that God's grace is not only upon your life to get you through today, but we studied last week that it's God's grace that is going to arrive. At what point? At what event? Look at verse 13 at the end, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is bringing, imagine, hallelujah, the moment Christ descends from heaven, there's going to be a bucket load of grace poured upon your life in that very second. And we're going to need that, like an elevator, as it were, to pick us up, and we'll be received into the everlasting arms of Jesus. God's grace is abounding, and the believer appreciates that. But right here today in this moment, understand this, that God's grace is at work, and the redemptive work of Christ, listen, in two phases. Christ died at the cross for your sins, and that is finished. He rose again from the dead for your justification, and that's how you get to heaven, by putting your trust in him. But in a very real way, God's redemptive work is yet to be completed. That at the revelation of Jesus, it will all be done. The dead will be resurrected who believed in Christ, or those of us, please, Lord, may it be today, that when the trumpet is blown, the shout is given, and we will be transformed in a moment, the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What a tremendous glory that is. And right off the heels of that, Peter now begins to introduce us to verse 14. So as we continue on with these series of exhortations, if you're a note taker, write it down. All of us in the family of God, where do we begin? All in the family are children. Will you write that down? God says in his Bible that we are children. Verse 14 opens up with three words, as obedient children. Let's look at that for a moment. The word child or children that's used here is not a spoiled child. It's not an ignorant child. It's not a child that is in rebellion. There's words in the Greek language. There's words in the Bible for that. God doesn't use that word in the authorship of verse 14. The Holy Spirit uses a word that means this, a child who follows his father. As obedient children, the child of God desires to follow his father. Look, children, especially when they're young, the problem is when they get older. I agree with Mark Twain. Mark Twain said that, you know, when you have little kids and all that kind of stuff, as they begin to grow up, there comes a point in time where you know, when they get about 12 or 13 years of age, Mark Twain said, at that point, you put them in a 55-gallon barrel with a hole in it, and you feed them through the hole. From about 13, he said, to about 21, when they reach about the age of 21, you just seal up the hole. But when children are young, have you noticed that when they're young, all they want to do is please you? It's the cutest thing in the world. You can say something to them like, can you bring Papa? Or can you bring Daddy the paper? Can you bring me that? Can you bring? And they just get all excited. In fact, just yesterday, we were babysitting our grandsons, and my 5.5-year-old grandson, Ollie, he said, Papa, can I help you with anything? Isn't that great? Yeah, oh, I heard that. Isn't that great? That's what I thought. Oh, God. This is what I thought in my mind. Oh, God, may he never lose that. Right? There's something in a child. Isn't it awesome that Jesus said, for you and I to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must become like a little child, believing, trusting, obedient. It's sweet. And that's the word that's here, that you and I, as children of God, we are now in obedience to our Father. Now, look, I don't know how to tell you this, except just tell you the truth. You belong to either one of two families in this world right now. Did you know that? And the Bible says that you and I are either children of God or children of Satan. So, man, that's what? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Humanism says something different, does it not? Humanism says something like, we're all... Well, what's funny about humanism, actually, is that it's atheistic most often, and it is unbelieving in God, and man is the focal point of his universe, right? Humanism. But when it does employ religion, it will always say, we're all of the brotherhood of God. We are all one. We are all children. You know, Jesus said, if you don't know your Bible, you are either of your father, which is above, or you are of your father, which is from beneath, the devil. If you don't like what I just said, take it up with God. He said you belong to a family. It's either one or the other. And you might say today, how can I believe in a family that I don't believe exists? I don't believe in God. Well, Jesus made it very clear. There's a family of unbelief. There's a family that says no to God, no to God's will, no to God's word. I will not have God rule and reign in my life. And yet the child of God, it is our delight to follow God. The word obedient here means to simply follow. It's a powerful word. As obedient children, Peter's giving a statement of assumption. This is given. This is what Christians do. Now look, this is a second service today, and you're here right now, but you do know that coming to church does not make you a Christian. Declaring yourself to be a Christian does not make you a Christian. Your membership in a church doesn't make you a Christian. None of those things have any value of you entering heaven, none whatsoever. There's only one way for you to become a real true child of God, and that is to be in the family. And to be in the family, Jesus said you must be born again. And to be born again, you must respond to the Holy Spirit's birthing in your life. And listen, you're an earthly family. You have a last name, and you know who's in your family. And God is saying and implying strongly that all of us that are in the family, that we know that we're in this family, that God has given us this family. In fact, look back in verse 2 of this chapter. Listen to the awesome grace and brilliance of this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. He says that we are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That means God picked you, chose you before the world, before time ever began. That's the word foreknowledge. In sanctification of God the Spirit. So now you've got God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do a work in you. You're going to remember that here in a moment. You're going to want to anyway. It's the Holy Spirit's job to sanctify you. Notice, for what? For obedience and sprinkling of the blood of God the Son. That's Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit at work in one verse in your life as a believer. If you're a child of God, think the Trinity is at work in your life. Is that awesome? Look, we're working around here. The church is being remodeled and all this stuff. And there's cones out here so you don't trip over stuff and all that. There's indicators that work is underway. And all over your life, maybe we should put those cones on our head because we are a work. We're under construction in our lives as believers. God is at work in all of his children's life. He's at work in your life. But we inherit, by the way, characteristics of family. It's true spiritually. It's true in nature. For example, what do you have? What did you get from your mom and dad? Did you get your dad's ears or your mom's nose? What is it? You know, you can look in pictures. You can determine that. And we may or may not like that. It all depends on, You may look and say, man, I got this and I got that. Hey, well, listen, that's just the way that it is. It is genetically passed down, and it is you. And in the same token, spiritually, there's a spiritual DNA that's passed down to all of us who are children of God, that we've come to faith in Christ. In the flesh, there's things that you and I pick up. But look, there are things communicated by DNA, and then in our home life, there are things in this natural life, there are things that have been communicated to us by what is known as learned response behavior. You may have seen when bad news came to your home, you may have seen your mom or your dad go to prayer. And from an early age, you learn to pray. In fact, I see it in these services. It's so beautiful. You guys only attend one service on Sunday. I attend all three. And I sit in various places and I watch. And I see worship. There's always near the back where the little kids are at during worship, mom or dad's got their hands up and you see a little junior, his hands go up. He doesn't know what he's doing, but he's learned response behavior. He's watching dad. Dad's got his hands up. Junior puts his hands up. Why? Because dad's got his hands up. Trouble may have come to your home as a child, and then you saw your dad not go to prayer, but he went to Jim Beam. He went to the altar of Jack Daniels. And you learned how to deal with your problems by drinking because you saw your dad respond to challenges by drinking. Learned response behavior. In the same token, God shows us his spiritual nature, and the Holy Spirit comes inside the believer and teaches us on how to walk with God, how to follow him. And what do we wind up doing? When we were once of a different father in this world, now we are of a new father in a heavenly world, and we learn how now to deal with problems differently, don't we? And we work through life completely following him, being a child of God. The obedience that's spoken about here, it's a very wonderful word. It means that we desire to follow. Friends, this is important to me. All of you hear this loud and clear. Share this with your friends. Nowhere does God put you in a headlock to make you follow him. Did you know that? He will never yoke you up to a burden and drive you like a slave. God delivers you out of slavery. It's all about a loving relationship. That's what God wants with you. And if you don't have that, you need that. When you see him, your heart wells up with love for him, just like a young child to a father. And so dad puts on his boots and he works in the yard, and you see Junior try to put his little size 2 foot in a size 12 boot, and he's trying to follow in dad's steps. That's a beautiful thing. And think of yourself spiritually. You and I are following God, and that's all he says is, you come, let's go, let's do this. And it's a joy to walk in obedience. He's not going to put you in a headlock. He'll invite you to come. He invited you to come into the family in the first place, and he invites you to walk with him all the way through to the end. God is good that way.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Verse 14 goes on, follow it with me, that we are to be now not conforming, or a nonconformist, we would say, ourselves to the former lust. You ought to circle the word former. It means who you and I were before. Do you remember that? Do you remember you used to have these, these spontaneous impulses to obey the demands of another? Whatever my flesh wanted, I went with it. Now, I asked questions later. I thought this, I grabbed it, that was it. And then I thought about the consequences. I was in the world. What are you looking at me like that for? You're like, you? Are we here? We're all here? So do you remember your former lust? He does and she does. Yes, you do. Listen, I tell you what, you know what? Maybe you don't. Maybe you're still in them. And you've never been born into the family, so you don't know what former is. But I go to church every Sunday. Ain't no matter. Think of it. I just made that up, by the way. I think that's God talking to us. Maybe there is no former in your life. I've never had a change. I just go to church and I've always done my thing. Whatever I want, I do. If it's at his expense, if it's at her expense, I grab all the gusto I can. I live for me. It's me, myself, and I. I keep in touch with myself. I'm a legend in my own mind. The world's here to serve me. The world is mine. Ooh. But for those of us who once were like that, and Christ got a hold of us and showed us his love and his grace and his power to forgive, we remember the former lust, and they're dangerous to us. They're scary. And they come in all kinds of forms. But they're dangerous. And he says, watch out. Don't conform to those former lusts. You want to know why this is important? The word conform means to fall back into the mold. To fall back into the mold, to take something out. Imagine something that is shrink-wrapped. Is that the right word? Or mold, ejection molding? That's not the right word either. It's molded. You bought it. It arrives at your door through Amazon. You open up the package and you peel the plastic away from the item. Have you noticed that the plastic that you peel away from the item, it holds the shape of what the thing is? And then it's easy to put the thing back into the molded plastic? Think of it. It's what? Cast, a silhouette. Good words. Exactly that. Get up here and teach the rest of this message. That's a good word. Listen, it's very easy to take the thing and put it back in the packaging that it came from because it holds the mold of what it once was. The world is holding its mold of your old life. It's there. You know it's there. It says things like this. Hey, you want to get back in? Oh, come on. Just slide back in. I'm waiting for you. You know that temptation? And you resist it. You fight. This is the life of the Christian. And Peter is saying, watch out. Don't go back to that mold, that silhouette, that cast that had once been your life. Oh, man, I tell you what, I wish you could have been with me on Tuesday. But hey, wait a minute. Thank God many of you were. Many of you were in Sacramento. And you know what? Great show of people. Tremendous. ABC News was there. CBS News was there. And listen, people from across this state stood and gave testimony to the state Senate on why it's a bad idea to pass AB 2943 for our religious freedoms and for hope. They listened to everything. 51 people got up, young people, ranging from about 18 to 30 years of age. And they went up to the microphone in front of our state leaders and they said, we want you to know, hi, I'm making this part up now. My name's Susie, she said. But she said, my name's Susie, and I was formerly a lesbian, and I found out that I could change. God changed my life, and I don't take this hope away from me. And the next person got up behind her, and this person was a homosexual. This person was what? And a line got up and testified. And at the end of it, the chairman of the committee said, thank you for all of your testimony. By the way, 1 hour and 21 minutes of people, hundreds of people giving testimony that life can be changed. And at the end, the seven despots of this state said, we believe it's not possible for you to have changed. And sitting right behind me were four of those that had been changed, young girls. I turned right around and I said, don't listen to a word she just said about what God has done in your life. Can you imagine telling somebody you can't change? God changed me. Did God change you? Yes. God changes life. But listen, our leaders say no to that. No, listen, they might say no, but the God of heaven says yes. Jesus Christ came to change us. He wants to give us, and he has given us hope. And I was lost in my sin, and God invited me into his family. And I'm grateful for that. And he says that we are not to be conformed any longer to the former lust as in your ignorance. That means when you and I were living in the world, we didn't know. We knew down deep inside on a general sense that what we were doing was wrong, but we couldn't put our finger on it. And then God began to speak. Listen, maybe you're here today or maybe you're watching right now and God is speaking to you and you're beginning to think, yikes, wow. And there's a spark inside of you of hope. You know, at the end of this service today, you're going to be asked to write your favorite verse on the floor. Did you know that? We're going to end early today, and you're going to get up, and you're going to write your favorite verse on the floor. Why? Because new carpet's coming in on Monday, and they're going to cover it up. And there's verses all over the floor already just from first service. And one guy came up here, and he wrote down his favorite verse because that's where he accepted Christ, right there. He came right up here. Is that awesome? And I've already seen people doing it during worship, writing their favorite verse down on the floor. And it's going to be, you say, why do that? It's going to be covered up. Because you know what? Known to God. Known to God. Just like I'm standing on top of Bibles right now. You didn't know that. But known to God, right? And think of the beauty this week as these carpet layers will come in and they're going to trowel this glue onto this floor. They're already going to be on their knees and then they're going to be reading verses. Why not go all the way and accept Christ? We got to pray for their salvation this week. There'll be hundreds of carpet layer type people working here, putting this in, and they're going to get thousands of verses. Change lives. As they read these verses, they will no longer be ignorant, huh? Boy, you read the Bible, you find out that there's truth.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio with his message called All in the Family. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here, and I just want to encourage all of you who are on the journey with us during this month of July. You know, we heeded the call of the governor of Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee, who called the people of Tennessee to fast and to pray. And when I heard about that, I wanted to make that nationally known. And so many churches and many citizens across this nation are praying this month of July, fasting and praying and seeking God for the healing of our states and for the healing of our nation. And so I want to encourage all of you to join us as we push through now to the end of this month, praying for God to revive the church and to bring salvation among the lost, and that this nation of ours might turn back to God. We've seen tremendous things like in Tennessee, Oklahoma, Louisiana. What about your state? What about my state? Let's seek God, because I think God is on the move.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.